Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 18th of November. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Although I have to admit, I was thinking it was Thursday this morning.
Sad. Not only did I do that, but also there for a second, as I was saying howdy do, I was like, wait, is it Wednesday or is it Thursday? And I wasn't honestly sure for a second there. Also with me today, regardless of what day it is, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Is it a day?
It is, but it's Blur's Day is what I've been told. Okay.
Happy Blursday.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, Andrew, I would like to start with you and an interesting thing that you wrote today. Which comes out of some conversations people have been having and different sets of information about 5G.
Yes, I was trying to do some research because now that everyone is getting 5G smartphones like the iPhone 12, the next sort of questions we're all asking is, well, first of all, am I going to get 5G coverage? But second of all, do I need a new card that can use 5G, a new SIM card? And so I was trying to figure it out with all the different kinds of carriers. I was able to get a little bit of information. So as Kelly, you pointed out to me, T-Mobile has been sending texts to customers and they are reminding them that they should get a new SIM card.
Right.
They do mention on their website that your current SIM card is 5G compatible, but it won't be capable of accessing their what they call a standalone 5G network sometime in the future.
Okay.
And standalone 5G just means when the entire infrastructure is all 5G, because right now in the early stages, it's, you know, a mixture of 5G and 4G.
Right.
So we still have a while to go to get to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So next, Verizon, they have an FAQ page. They say if your SIM card is activated as 5G and put into a 4G device, then it won't be able to access specifically their 5G ultra wideband network, aka the mmWave 5G.
Okay.
And then they say if it's activated as 4G and inserted into a 5G device, then it can access the 5G ultra-wide network, but it may not connect to what they call the future enhanced 5G network. And I'm assuming that is just the same thing as standalone 5G.
Maybe. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Way to make that crystal clear for everybody.
Yeah. So a different language. I was trying to wade through all of this. Now, AT&T, I couldn't really find a lot of information about their SIM cards specifically. Their website didn't mention 5G SIM cards at all, but they did tell customers that they will need a specific 5G plan to use 5G service.
Okay.
Which is an important distinction because the carrier that I use is called Visible. They run on Verizon's network.
Okay.
They say that customers won't need a new SIM card and they won't even need a special 5G plan. So it's so confusing. Not only is it about different kinds of SIM cards, but it's also, do we even need a special plan or just use our current plan?
Right.
But it sounds like for most carriers, you will need a 5G plan, I think.
Yeah, because like, why would they upgrade their network if it doesn't mean they can charge more money? So
right.
That was kind of the first thing I wondered about, was not so much do you need a new SIM card, but are you going to have to upgrade to some plan that is, you know, maybe unlimited data, but maybe not, and, you know, uses 5G, and like figuring out how much of that you have and how much you need and all that kind of stuff. So,
Yeah. And so the conclusion that I drew after all this was, right now, you probably don't need a new SIM card.
Right.
In some unknown point in the future, when they all use the standalone 5G, enhanced 5G, or whatever they call it, then you may need a new one if you're still using the one you have right now.
Yeah. And the additional sort of bonus to this is that if you if you have AT&T now, you've seen 5G on the top of your phone for like a year because it said 5GE forever, right? So, you know, that's not confusing at all. But thank you, Andrew, for checking into that because, you know, all of this is super confusing. And if we didn't mention your carrier or if you have more questions about this, you'll want to reach out to them because it sounds like everybody's giving out a different set of information. So it depends on what you subscribe to. And Charlotte, you've had some too.
Yeah, I had a little similar experience here in the UK. Just when I was setting up my new iPhone 12 Pro, I wanted to check in the way Andrew's described whether or not I needed a new to get a new SIM card as well as the phone to access 5G. And my network provider, which is Vodafone, told me I didn't. Now, as Andrew has described, that may well change as the network develops. But my one interaction is that I don't need to do that. Yeah, I did not need to do that yet, and I've actually seen 5G come up on the phone.
Oh.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out more, and as the situation changes, which it inevitably will, we will totally let you know about that here. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is software company MacPaw. They make an app called Clean My Mac X. It is the letter X. It is not 10. And they make Clean My Mac X, which is cleaning and optimizing software for your computer. So it helps declutter some of those temp files and those log files that you don't always need to keep. It can help you. It's very user friendly. So when you open it up and you take a look at what it's doing, you have a very good idea of what you're seeing and why that matters. It can sometimes help you if you don't have a new M1 machine. It can help you put a little pep in the step of the one that you have. And one of the easiest pieces of it to use is Smart Scan, which is a feature that looks for those log files and cache files I told you about that you don't need anymore. It'll do a basic malware check, and it'll do a little bit of optimization to help you speed things up on your machine. It doesn't take that long to actually do. And it also gives you a nice way to see what it is that is taking up all of the space or all of the processor on your machine. And it's a lot nicer to look at than using Activity Monitor. You can learn more about Clean My Mac X and download it for free at macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO. macpaw.app/TDO. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing we have to talk about today, Charlotte, something took place early this morning, maybe late last night, our time, that we've talked about a whole lot here and actually
many
happened.
Times, yes. Yes. So Apple have announced what they're calling a small business, small developer program, whereby developers whose revenue across all their apps generates less than $1 million a year will only pay 15% in commission as opposed to the normal 30%. So, yeah, it's called the App Store Small Business Program. Obviously, this is in the context of a lot of rows over the App Store, over how much Apple takes from it, over the fact that you can't get your apps really onto a device without going via the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get an app onto an app phone or iPhone or whatever. So they've taken this move, which is interesting. So just to kind of read out the details of it. So existing developers who made up to $1 million in 2020 for all their apps, which is interesting. So it's not like each app, it's across the whole lot, can qualify for this program, and they'll get the reduced commission. If the participation developer then surpasses that $1 million threshold, they'll then have to pay the 30% for the rest of the year. Okay. Then if a developer falls below the $1 million threshold in a future calendar year, they can re-qualify for the 15% commission the year after.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's obviously, for many small developers, I'm sure it will be seen as a step in the right direction. If you, and Apple did try and make a bit of a play of all the happy small developers that there were. Some of them were not so happy. there's been some quite snarky tweets that have gone out about it. So
you don't say.
You'll be shocked to know that the developer community is split in its approach to Apple and how snarky it wants to be.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
I have seen a little bit about this. I've seen some people say, well, this is good, but it's, you know, too little too late. Apple could have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
And then bigger companies like both Spotify and Epic Games have also produced their own negative comments.
Sure, yes. Well, it was obviously, this can really very much be seen in the context of the Fortnite wars or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, David Hanemar Hansen, Basecamp CTO, Mr. Ruby on Rails, we've discussed him before, I think, in this context.
Yeah.
Said that Machiavelli would be so proud of Apple. he says it's trying to split the App Store opposition with conditional charity concessions. Look, this is always going to be tricky territory for Apple. It's a $2 trillion company. It makes a big play of its values, but makes a huge amount of money. This is always going to be tricky territory. If Tim Cook was here, he'd point out that Apple is not a dominant in any market, is not the majority player in any markets that it's in. You know, the majority of the world's smartphones are not run on iOS. The right. majority of the world's computers are not Macs.
Mm-hmm.
However, for us, it might feel weird that not to know someone that doesn't have it. That is the reality.
Right.
And Tim Cook would without doubt point out that and many other factors. They also try and make a point about the value added of being in the App Store and the tools they provide developers, the security users get from knowing an app has gone through the App Store scrutiny process. So there's a lot of different things to weigh up here.
And
I've thought about this for kind of most of this since I wrote the story. I think broadly it is a good decision. It doesn't look good for Apple that it was strong-armed into making it.
Right.
That there was such a row before that it had to make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably is the right one that will benefit most of the right people.
Yeah.
Amongst that is users.
Mm-hmm.
As well as developers.
Yeah, and that's the piece that's interesting, and just to, not because I'm making excuses or defending Apple or anything like that, I do think this was a smarter way to go. I think it was, even when we talked about this previously, that I was saying that, like, if you're a smaller company, maybe Apple takes a smaller take. You know, if you don't make a whole lot of money on the App Store in a year, then maybe Apple takes 10 or 15% from you instead of 30, right? So it's not like this was an impossible thing. And right now, like, if you have a subscription app, the first year Apple takes 30%, and then anytime anybody renews that, Apple only gets 15% of that subsequent subscription. Uh-huh. So that's another, like, that's a thing that Apple put in a while ago. I think offer codes on subscriptions is another thing that Apple has changed recently.
Yeah, that's on the way, which is good.
Yeah, that's another thing that's coming. So there have been some changes made, and I'm not saying, like, yeah, it does suck that it took, you know, all of this to kind of lean on them to do it. And, you know, whatever you think of the whole Fortnite war, like, you know, that certainly had to have contributed in some fashion, whether it was making this faster or what. But it's definitely an interesting thing. What I would like to know, and I don't know, Charlotte, if this was part of what they talked about or not, is, like, what percentage of the App Store this affects. Like, how many companies have apps that aren't making $1 million a year?
They think it's most of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting because, as far as I can tell, Google is moving towards the Apple position of basically making everyone go through the App Store and pay 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened kind of September this year, that it is not going to, that Apple, Google said it would no longer allow any apps to circumvent its payment system, and that the Google Play Store provides the company, the app providers have to give the 30%. So
interesting.
you know, for all the bad PR Apple has got, Google is kind of is doing the same.
Google's headed that direction. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's headed there. I think it's there. It has arrived. You know,
oh, okay.
Google wants 30% from developers who go through the Play Store. The difference has always been that it's easier to circumvent the Play Store, which you when you can't really do that on the App Store.
Sure.
And okay. Google is making big efforts to crack down on that now. But
interesting.
So my point is, for all the flack that Apple gets, there's a small company called Google who is kind of basically doing the same thing.
And not getting anywhere near the grief for it.
No, and Epic Games did take a swing at Apple at Google as well when it took a swing at Apple.
Epic was mad about it, but that's so far that's the only. I mean, granted, I don't spend anywhere near as much time in the Android world as I do in the iOS world, but I haven't seen the kind of fallout for Google that I have for Apple on all of this. So I like just in what I've seen, and I do pay attention. I just don't pay quite as close attention to the other platform, but I do try to watch to see what's happening there. And I haven't seen the black eye, I guess, for Google doing this that that I would presume, because aside from Fortnite, there hasn't been a whole lot of, hey, did you know Google is doing this? And, you know, copying Apple, and it kind of sucks because, you know, whatever reason that people want to give. So.
Yeah, so. Netflix and Spotify, for instance, basically bypassed the Play Store, which triggers a massive row with Apple and hadn't previously triggered a massive row with Google. That agenda setting. So it's worth seeing this in the round. You could also say this is kind of Apple kind of putting a bit of pressure on a rival to move in the same direction. We're going to have to see how this plays out, but I think probably there'll be a lot of smaller developers who benefit from this and who are happy about absolutely. This.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to be cynical about things like this, but I think we should also look at the good as well as have a little bit of cynicism in there.
There's nothing wrong with a side of cynicism, to be sure. But I definitely think, because one of the things that Apple really likes to focus on when they talk about, particularly, you know, in June at the developers conference events, one of the things they really like to talk about is sort of the App Store economy almost, and the number of people who are full-time developers who only work on stuff that's available in the App Store. You know, the jobs that come out of that, the amount of money that they're paying to those folks every year, you know, as part of those payouts that Apple, you know, when Apple sends them the part that's their own. So, you know, If Apple's taking a smaller cut, that number's only going to go up. So now Apple can look better in that way as well. So, you know, it's not like it's 100% Apple app operating out of the goodness of their heart. And I think sometimes that gets lost in all of this. That's why the side of cynicism is nice. So as we find out more about this, or if we talk to other developers who have gotten more information about this, if you are a developer that this affects directly and you want to let us know about it, you can talk to us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. So that's going to do it for us today. And Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And more importantly, thank you for throwing yourself on that hand grenade of 5G SIM card information, because I was really wondering and had no idea it was going to get that complicated. So I really appreciate your efforts there. Charlotte, thanks so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.